Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the City of Fairbanks work session this September 8th, 2025. Madam Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Ms. Tidwell, Mr. Cleworth?
Here.
Mr. Ringstad? Mr. Marnie?
I'm here.
Ms. Sprinkle?
I'm here.
Ms. Therrien?
I'm here.
Okay. Tonight's work session is on regards to Pluralsight, the RFP process. So we've been on the Pluralsight itself with things that can or cannot, that might happen there in the future. We've gone through the Pluralsight RFP discussion summary. Let's go through that again. The RFP discussion point recommendations, it can be a lease or a sale. Lot value, should the city council start to consider minimum value of the property, but should not specify exact dollar amounts in the RFP process due to lack of comparable sales. Parking garage, and these are the variables that I brought up. The recommendation is for the parking garage to be available for purchase as long as the residual grant restrictions are followed. The developer should also be allowed to install a sky bridge, regardless of whether they buy the parking garage or not. City site or full block. While the full block development may be beneficial, the recommendation for the city to be involved in the acquisition of additional properties on this block. In this recommendation, the RFP would allow for a full block proposals, but the developer would be responsible for securing any additional properties that are needed. So those are the four variables that I brought up. Is there any discussion on the variables that should be changed? Okay, next is,
nope.
Yes, Mr. Cleworth. Yeah.
I appreciate you kind of taking these at a group or one at a time here. On the first one, I think the council needs to decide whether leasing is an option on the land. I'm not leaning towards that option, but if others are, then so be it. But I don't really want to get it.
What's your overall thought on it, Jerry?
I want to sell it outright. I want to sell it and be done with it. I don't want to be a landlord. I don't want to lease that thing or get into those complications down the road, that sort of thing. I want
Ms. Sprinkle.
Clean.
I hear Jerry's point. I know that we talked about leasing versus selling, that selling would allow the property go to the tax rolls, which I think is ideal. I think I mentioned earlier in a meeting that we hung the lease out in the air just so that we could at least use some protective device, and it could maybe be written in the RFP instead to say, if you don't do these things by this certain date, we will take back the land. And that was to avert land banking especially. That was really our concern.
You're right, though. It should be in. We can put that in the RFP to protect you from that.
You know, and also a way to protect against that is you don't title the property until they have funding through a bank approved. You know, we're not titling this property over and saying, "Here you go now. Now, let's see if you get this thing built in 3 years." We have them under contract for them to do their due diligence. And once they have a confirmation from a bank to go with their project, that's when you title it over and you receive the money. That way you have protection. Mr. Ringstead.
My preference would be to sell the thing and be done with it, like you say, Jerry. But I think the lease, we put it in there and see what kind of offers we get. It might be advantageous to a buyer to do a lease purchase on the land, get the thing built, and purchase it out in 5 years or 10 years or whatever. It's another, just keeping the flexibility for developers. But my preference would be that we'd be out of it clean.
Ms. Therrien, then Mr. Marnie.
My preference would be to sell it.
Mr. Marnie.
Likewise, but I have a couple other concerns here. The parking garage. About 4 years ago, we put the garage up for sale And I believe at that point it was 2.2 million?
Yes.
I saw some figures here that were quite a lot of, were down from that figure.
Yes. Margarita believes that the amortized portion of the grant is at 1.6 million. But she, and she's not here, but she can also confirm that if we do sell the parking garage and it is under sale where it will be kept as a parking garage, then we can keep all funding proceeds as long as it is used as a parking garage.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
And the third item would be, or the two owners of the two buildings,
mm-hmm.
Chris Miller and I believe the Hopner. That corporation. But are they aware? I mean, we're not going to be held hostage or anything as far as dollar amounts and that kind of thing?
Our property is our property. We're not not trying to involve them in the sale or development of our property. If a developer wants to approach them with something larger, that's up to a developer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Maybe I phrased it different, but I hope whoever comes in and buys our property will work with them to try to get.
You would think so. You'd hope so.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Crystal.
What was the question?
Where were you?
At the work session?
No. What we're doing is we're going through the first four bullet points. Those are the variables. Yeah, those are the variables. Now, are there any other items on the first four of the first four bullet points? It sounds like most of the council would rather see this a sale. Okay. Lot value. $16,500 square foot lot. You know, usually a lot costs with items on a building is, you know, 6 to 8%, but we'll see what the offer is, if there is an offer. So parking garage, it's available for being used in an exclusive basis without transferring ownership. It's available for transferring ownership as long as it's used exclusively for a parking garage. Incentives. The recommendation for the City Council is to determine if they want to include any incentives, such as waiving permit fees or offering tax deferment to include them in the RP. Likewise, if the Council does not offer incentives, that information should be in the form of, in the RP from the beginning. The alternative is to wait for developers to ask about incentives. That would pause and extend the RP time due to issuing an addendum. So there's two incentives we can give: building fees and building permit fees and real estate taxes. What are your thoughts?
Those on the books now?
Those go through 2026.
Yeah. Why don't we just let those things work and not put them into this? I mean, they can see that by ordinance what they can get.
Yeah.
And that would be all I'd be in favor of doing.
Put the ordinance in the RFP?
Yeah.
Okay. Mr. Ringstad?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I'm not opposed to giving incentives. With the response we get back will tell us whether or not we maybe need to or not. But there may be a way to do something like that would make it more viable if we need to. I think that's a leave that door open and see what we get and see if there's a request for it.
Ms. Therrien.
Yes, I'm wondering, do we know what the fees would be? Are we talking hundreds of thousands or just 50,000? Do you have any idea?
I would have no idea because it's based on the value, construction value, of what they plan to build. And say a $20 million project, no different fees, 1.5%, $25,000, who knows? Yeah, it's project determined. Yeah. Mr. Marnie.
Did we do anything like that for the hotel that's down on First?
Until the council waived building permit fees, that's the first time that's ever been done in the city that I'm aware of. So I didn't vote for that. I was outvoted 5-1, if I remember right, and that's okay. But we never did that before. They did ask for a deferral on property taxes for some years, and my memory was like 5. But that was it, and they got it. They got it, yeah. But that was it. There was no waiving of the fees or anything.
Council, my thought is it's an incentive. This is an incentive that makes a project that's a thin project. Thin. It's financially thin.
Okay.
Probably not going to work. But it's a nice incentive. But it's if this is what's going to make it work, you don't want the project. Yeah.
Hey, Mr. Mayor.
Yes, Mr.
I agree with you. You know, on a large scale deal like that, if you're talking asphalt, a smaller percentage. But it is a way to show that we're
working
good faith here, and we're
exactly
gonna work with
good
it.
Faith.
It's really not an economic decision at that point, in my mind.
Good way to put
they're
it, Mr. Kingston.
Pay more taxes and
Ms. Sprinkle.
Whatever.
And to add to that, I think it says that we as a city are willing to, we want to invest in our own city as well. So that is, it is something to us. It may not be to them, but I think it shows that we have, yeah, I think so. Thank you.
Okay. Constraints. Much like incentives, any constraints and requirements such as construction deadlines and not creating a new parking lot should be explicitly defined in the RFP. My thought as constraint is we're not titling it over until they have project funding. Simple as that. That's a constraint. Ms. Sprinkle?
I'm going to use the example of the, is it the College Inn off of Geist? What is the name of that burned down hovel? Okay, but that's the property.
You mean
property.
On Fairbank Street, yeah.
The property that the borough allowed to go to a person who bid on it, there was no, what's the word I want? What is, there were no conditions put on that property. So he never had to clean it up, and he never had to do anything to it for any length of time. So there they are. The borough doesn't have to do with this problem property, and the owner doesn't either. So they're stuck with this burned out building that the borough should have made a demand or cleaned it up themselves. But anyway, so I think that we can be ahead of the game on something like that and make sure something good comes from it.
Okay. Evaluation criteria, clearly defined, unbiased evaluation criteria should be included in the RFP. The evaluation of this RFP should be treated like any other city RFPs and allow procurement procedures to ensure the integrity of the process. An evaluation committee should be formed to select the top scoring proposal. As with proposals over $250,000, City Council is a final approval authority for the selection.
Mayor, I had a comment about on constraints.
Yes.
I guess you missed my hand. Is it possible to give them incentives so that maybe they could get it done in 2 years by maybe waiving 2 or 3 years taxes on the new project? That's, I was kind of wondering whether or not we could do something like that.
Yes, you can, and that would be part of the incentives. And what you could say is if you get it done within 2 years, you will give up to, say, 5 years in tax abatement. If you don't get it done in 3 years, you're at full taxes. You can think about that and put that into the RFP as an incentive. Mr. Ringstead.
I don't have a problem with the concept of that. I think in the functional reality, I think assuming that they're going to take a fairly large project,
I would assume it's going to be hard to rush that through, just to, if for no other reason, it might be hard to get the manpower, the additional manpower to do that. I think the important part in my mind is putting a completion date that's realistic and hope that we don't have to delay it beyond that. We can push them to try and get it done earlier, but, you know, if things are construction-wise are busy, where are you going to get the bodies? You know, and if we can't, in my mind, it's not a good idea to penalize them for something that they, you know, to everybody else in town is going to have the same problem, and we're having that problem now. So I think we can have that discussion with the potential bidders on this.
Okay.
Mayor, with regard to the evaluation criteria, I think the evaluation committee should be the city council. That's my position.
Why don't you jump in on this, Mr. Attorney?
So there's some guidance in the general code at section 54-166. And it talks about how bids will be evaluated. That, generally speaking, that whole section brings in the folks that you would want to be evaluating it. It brings in your city engineer, brings in some the purchasing agent, folks that you would want in that evaluation committee. Certainly, after the proposals have been weighed against the RFP and kind of run through the process, like that, you know, you could have more than one presented to the council and, you know, we could figure something out. But the code really specifically tells us who should be on the committee and what the procedures are for that.
And what the code does is it puts an evaluation in place. Well, this is what people do. Now, the city council is the final determination, period. But you have a conflict of interest if you're evaluating something and then voting on what you want. So it protects you. It protects the people who put in a bid or a project by having people who this is what they do. I don't evaluate things like this in a technical basis, but we have people within the city. But the city council is the final authority on who gets it. So it's a protection in place for you. Ms. Sprinkle.
Can I ask Mike to talk to the fact that some of these things, proposal-wise, look like 300, 400-page documents, and I'd like him to comment.
I don't know that they'd be 300 or 400 pages, but I definitely think that it wouldn't be out of the ballpark. I mean, and Bob can correct me if I'm wrong, but you could easily get a 100-pager. And I know when we do the regular RFP evaluations, you know, that's usually a couple of days of every chance you get, you're shutting your door to your office and you're in there hammering it out. And I mean, the city council could definitely take that on, but I mean, just think about the times that, you know, in this room where we've had something that is, you know, just a few pages long, and they'll be like, oh, I didn't have time to read that. I think it's a mistake for the city council to take this on themselves without having an evaluation committee.
Ms. Tidwell.
My concern is because we have no idea what people are going to propose to go there. Like, we could have vastly different projects. My concern is not being part of that decision of which direction we're going to go. And then to that also, like, if the committee had decided on something and brought it to the council, a lot of times I feel like that far into the process, sometimes it's, you know, too late to be like, oh, that's not what I want. I feel like, so it feels like it's after the fact. So I wonder if there's some other way that we could incorporate into this process so that we could see the different proposals and be a little more involved, you know, without getting too into, you know, every page of 150 pages, but like the, you know, maybe an overview of
you'll get that, yeah. And the first thing, you know, when we get to the proposed schedule. The first thing that Mr. Hovey says, he wants to sit down with the council and find out what you don't want, so we can, he can put that into the criteria of the RFP. You know, do you want a garage? No. Do you want a hotel? Yes. Do you want a multi-developed building with retail, office, apartments? Yes. Things like that. And then my hope, my extreme hope, is that, yes, you get to choose over multiple projects. And let's hopefully that happens. So,
Mr. Mayor.
Mayor?
Yes, Valerie.
With regard to the evaluation committee, I would be okay with it as long as it's all city employees and not outside people. Is that something that you could agree to? That it would just be city employees?
The one person that I would have on there besides the city employees is the person who writes the RFP. That person will be technically trained. If it's Mr. Hovey and he writes the RFP, he probably has a good background in evaluating RFPs and taking questions. So that would be the only person I would think, besides our people who do it, to be an addition.
Mr. And how much is that going to cost?
We'll get into that. Well, that's next.
Okay.
Mr. Marnie.
Do we give incentives for local hire?
You know, you figure that one out. You know, we're not well, hiring. We're
if
selling.
We can't fill it. I mean, obviously, we
search
out.
Yeah, we're, you know.
I believe there's a mechanism in the procurement process to do that. I mean, it would be up to council to elect whether or not to do it, but I believe there is a mechanism here for you to do it.
You're on the evaluation committee.
Or, I mean, I'm not sure if there is a...
Okay. Anything else before we go over to the proposed schedule?
Yeah.
You got two fingers.
Mr. Cleworth.
Yeah. Thank you, Mayor. Our code, I was just reading that after Tom told us where it was here, is really designed at bid solicitations or like new vehicles, that sort of a thing. That evaluation committee is going to see if they're a responsive bidder or not, if they've got a track record behind them that's not a good one, or if they're providing an, even though they had a better bid, it's an inferior product, so to speak. So I don't mind having staff look at, especially the financial component of any of these bids, is it a legitimate offer? And they can do that. Where I balk a little bit at this is because I just don't want the evaluation to go so far as to say, we think this is the best proposal because this is a $20 million project and this one over here is only a $3 million project, when the $3 million project could be more of an incentive for downtown than that $20 million. And so that's where this starts to go in a different direction that I see, Tom. It's a little different animal. So at what point, I think staff should do some of the basic groundwork on it, but I still think we should hear the presentations. I mean, the reality of this, we're only going to get, I think, two at most. I'm hoping you get more, but, I mean, you may get none, and we're spending a lot of time spinning our wheels here. But I would say the staff to do some due diligence to make sure that these are legitimate offers or bids. But I would still like to hear or have a procedure where we actually are presented with that, with the concept that they have, that we can hear it ourselves. And then take the material from the staff after the presentations have been made, and then we go none of the above or this is the good one.
Yeah.
I mean, does that seem like a logical sort?
Okay. Ms. Sprinkle?
I think we were hoping that our administration would be able to vet for sure, because we don't do those deep, deep dives. But I think for sure the overall concepts, who knows if it, you know, if it's a goat farm versus a climbing wall. I who knows? I think that seeing is believing, and I think that's what we're looking for, is the creative endeavor.
Mr. Attorney.
The code, I think the procedures outlined in the code do a good job of keeping this on track and making sure it's a fair process. Mr. Cleworth, to your point, you know, there's nothing saying that the bidders, the folks putting in proposals, couldn't also present to council their ideas, and ultimately you have the final say in which direction you want to go. The only caution that I would add is that if that's your prerogative, it needs to be in the RFP that, hey, look, you know, the expectation here is that you're going to put a bid in, but also that you're going to present to council. We just need to make sure that whatever we are evaluating these projects on is people know about it up front.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Did we do the same thing for, let's say, the firehouse? Did we have to go through this with council and see all that kind of carrying on?
Only Jerry Cleworth would know that.
On the firehouse, that was a
design build.
That was Pete Kelly that got that grant, and
It hadn't been there since the 70s. He moved across the street in about 88.
But on the hotel property, we did get presentations. There was two presenters on that we heard both pitches.
And do you feel that those who presented, were they at all shy about sharing that in public because of what proprietary design ideas they had or numbers? Was there anything of a concern?
No, they weren't. They both did very good jobs.
And maybe this is to the attorney. Is there any component here that would be something that has to be executive session for dollars or contracts, or, you know, where does that then take us if we're talking finances?
The only thing that comes to mind would be there are certain things that if bidders wanted to safeguard from a public record request, then there's a mechanism to do some of that in the procurement procedures. But if an executive session is necessary down the road because of some, you know, financial situation, we could deal with it as it comes up.
Okay, thank you.
Mr. Ringstead.
I think I'm kind of where Jerry is. I think the staff clearly is probably more capable of doing the technical analysis and pre-qualifications than we probably are as a group. But, you know, I'm hoping we get four. I don't have a problem spending the time. If we need to look at four of them, we can probably do that. I don't think we're going to spend 3 hours in every one of them, but we can at least see if this is something none of us want or this is something all of us want, and if we need to narrow it down from that point. But I think once we get through the initial part and let them do that and they can come in and highlight what they've seen and then let the bidders come in and do likewise. So I don't have a problem with that. It's kind of sometimes if one's, like you say, what'd you say? One's a goat farm and one's climbing wall. They're very different things, and I think that's a policy call, not necessarily a technical one.
Ms. Therrien?
I would agree with what Jerry and Mr. Ringstead has said, that I think once it's gone through the city employees and Mr. Hovey's review, that we should see those at the city council level, and that they're aware of that.
Okay. Let's go to the next page, the proposed schedule.
Mr. Sanders, you got in touch with Eric Hovey?
Yes, sir. Yep.
Do you want to pass out the new proposal for the RFP at this time, or?
I did not make copies because the way that this was the meeting was going last time, I was like, I will wait to be told to pass that stuff out. But I did meet with Mr. Hovey. He is willing to help us with the RFP. He gave us a quote for $25,800 to do that work. He has done good work for us before, so if that's something that we're interested in, then we can make that happen.
If we decide to go that direction, how would we pay for it?
It's through the capital contingency fund.
My money?
Well, the city's money, but yeah.
The balance in that is $160,000. Okay. Mr. Ringstead.
Mike, so that we're helping with the RFP, does that go through the initial analysis from a technical perspective to help you guys, whoever, doing the first cut of these things qualify and that sort of stuff?
Yeah, yes, he'd be willing to stay with us through this throughout the whole process. He did say that it'd be good to meet with, as the mayor said, to meet with council early. To go through all that, you know, he suggests that we have any of just the same stuff that we're talking about here. He said the exact same stuff. We didn't prompt him on what to say or anything. And he was talking about if there's any incentives, we need to put it in there. If there's any constraints, we need to put it in there. We need to make sure that the evaluation criteria is clearly defined and in there. And he's willing to help us throughout the whole process.
Ms. Tidwell.
And the $25,000, that's for the whole thing.
Yes. Okay. Unless we have some, you know, sort of change order, you know, if we ask them to do some other document or something. But for right now, yeah, $25,000 would cover it.
Okay. Mr. Cleworth.
Now, let me play devil's advocate here for a second. Why not just have our city engineering department do this?
We could bring Bob up if you want.
Yeah.
Talk about that.
Well,
I mean, you've done a lot of.
Yeah, but the letter of interest that we had basically has all these points in it. If you recall, if you looked at the letter, it's still a contract. Incentives, restrictions, time is the essence of the contract. Sale or lease the property, all those things are in there. But Eric Hovey, he's done this multiple times, and. I would definitely want to help. I think everybody is so concerned about it. It's such a public process. Recall when we did the tower, there was a bid protest, and we defended against it. Tom and I worked on that. So I'm always looking at when we do an RFP, how are we going to defend against a bid protest? Is the RFP fair, and the evaluation criteria, is it fair, and can we withstand the bid protest? I mean, that's one thing I think about. But anyway, why I would say we would want to help. 25 grand, well spent.
Okay. No, that's what I wanted to hear. So.
Thank you, Bob.
No.
Okay. Next is the Friday private presentation with Corey Rigatano on the potential interim site uses and events. That's been canceled. Trina Bailey is not happy with some people because that was her event, and she was using that as a advertisement for her new business where the venue is. But those things happen, sadly so. So the 9th, so the 12th and the 13th, since there's one happening tomorrow on this, I believe, at a bar. Should be fun. So we go to October 15th. We're looking at an RFP first draft. Mr. Sanders, was that
the virtual open house?
That's it's not at the venue. That was basically that was from the 13th through the 30th. And I don't think Ms. Bailey wants to have anything to do with this anymore.
Oh, that was part of the
story. Yeah,
that
she, and the one she just basically together. Said they stole her event.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Congratulations on that.
The virtual public open house isn't an online virtual.
She was going to be doing that, and she's not going to have anything to do with this anymore. She was.
That's yeah. So that these two items were.
So
it's kind of the same thing. Okay.
We'll have to figure out something else there. That's going to be a pivot left or right. A little bit of frayed personalities there. So then we're looking at the RFP, the first draft. Mr. Sanders, is that something that Mr. Hovey thought is achievable?
I think it's achievable. It depends on when we give them the green light to move forward on this. I mean, it will be a first draft. It, you know, it won't be a final document. So I think it'll be all right.
Okay. And the RFP review at council work session on 10/21. Now, if you go to the top of this, it says proposed schedule. So this is only proposed. If we need more time drafting the RFP, getting out there, or the city council needs more time reviewing it, we can adjust that. November 1, RFP, final draft due. And again, these are adjustable dates. November 4th, review, RFP review at city council work session. Then November 14th, RFP opens. Now, you're giving 4 months for an RFP. Yes, Sue.
I wanted to make sure that we all knew that with Hovey's help, he will also know how to distribute the RFP so that it goes beyond just people we know, that he's going to hit bigger...
bigger fish.
Bigger fish. So I think that he's going to bring a little value to that as well, because he's very well known in the Pacific Northwest. I just wanted to throw that out. He's going to be valuable that way.
Now,
Mayor, this is Ms. Therian again.
Mm-hmm.
When we look at the review of the first draft, will that be in the middle of a 8 a.m. work session or specific? Just for that, so we have enough time to review it.
John, Sue, I was not there for that portion of this meeting.
No, we just assumed we'd have to give adequate time, whatever it took.
Okay.
If it takes an hour, or it takes an hour and a half, or it takes 30 minutes, I don't know.
Is the
we'll see when we get it.
Is the fourth? Is that date the 21st or the 15th?
That's a Tuesday morning.
Okay. Thank you. So, yeah, we'll make the time for it, Ms. Therian.
Okay.
And to get it in advance.
What's that?
We need it in advance.
So we read it before that.
Yeah. Mr. Ringstead, then Mr. Marty.
Mike, did you talk to Hovey about the time schedule? I mean, we're putting it in here saying, okay, we're going to do a work session, and then he has a week, 10 days to have a final draft. Is he comfortable with that time frame?
We talked about it loosely, but remember in the meeting that we all had, we said that this was a very flexible thing. I think if we get this out by the end of the year, I think we're doing fine.
Yeah.
And this is, there's no drop dead time on this. I mean, even if we, launch this on January 1st, we could still have it completely, done and evaluated before the snow's off the ground.
Okay. Oh, Lonnie, I'm sorry. I was looking at Valerie's hand. Sorry.
I need to wear like red or orange or something. Anyway, God.
I'm wearing red.
Anyway, is that a norm for 4 months?
I don't know.
I'm a virgin at this.
I would want it a little bit longer, to tell you the truth, okay. Maybe five. My first thought was 5 to 6 months.
And then the other recommendation or things I don't see in there, I think we should talk to our partners. Maybe we have, but like the Downtown Association, Fedco, maybe the Chamber, and just let them know, you know, get their input. I would value that.
Ms. Sprinkle?
Sitting on the chamber for the mayor, I have shared that, just so you know that that's, yeah. But I haven't shared the images. At Downtown Association, we've also seen it happening, but not the RFP or anything like that. So I think you're right. We can continue the dialogue. It's been going on.
The 12th presentation was supposed to be to those three entities that you just described. And then from the 13th to the 30th was a virtual open house. So what we have to do now is figure out more of a virtual open house and how and where. That way, the Chamber, EDCO, Downtown Association,
and maybe
Explore Fairbanks, yeah.
Would it make sense to try and do that between the first draft and the final draft? Before we get the RFP as a final draft, we might get some input from them.
Well, the thing about what we're looking about with Corey was that was only potential interim use. And now what we're focusing on this RFP is the building itself. And what we specifically were telling Corey not to do was put anything in there that did not include just the site. So we'll have to recalculate on a presentation on just the site for some of what I'd call stakeholders in this.
The discussion of our draft, that we invite those groups to come listen. I think a couple of them are already here.
You know, it'd be good. It would be, my thought is, when we look at our review of the city council work session on the 4th, before we put it out, that's when we have private sessions independently with the Chamber of Commerce, Downtown Association, Fedco, because now we know what we're doing. And maybe they can help us get someone who wants to participate in this. Sue.
Okay, so that just exact. Everybody wants to be council and public, and what? When you say that, mm-hmm. I worry about where that sets people into. Concern.
We'll get to it when we get to it. I'm not worried about it. As long as you publicize it, it's known.
Okay.
Who's going to be there? Who's not going to be there? How we're going to do it?
Understand.
Just right now, it's very, very, very preliminary, and I just thought about that off the cuff.
Just a little tender. I'm just making sure we talk about that.
Okay.
This is Valerie. So it looks like with this schedule, the first time the developer could even do anything is the 1st of May. So I don't know. Is there any way to push it up to the first of April, maybe, just so that we don't lose the whole summer? Just a thought, because I know you said 4 months for the RFP to be opened and closed, and you want to do it 5 months. That would be in June. So I'm just concerned about that.
Ms. Therrien, on something, a project of this magnitude, I don't foresee any construction happening on that site this summer, to tell you the truth, because an RFP from us is one thing. Then they got to get their construction financing lined up, design, final design, architects, engineers. Mm-hmm. It'll be 2026 construction season on something like this. Ms. Sprinkle?
And that's exactly why we put into place the plan B or whatever we want to call
interim use.
That's why we knew that, you know, there's no one going to break ground on June of next year. But we didn't want to leave it fallow. So wherever that ends up, I don't know. But I don't believe we're going to see a building being built next year.
Mm, yeah. So the question that I'll have and maybe Bob and Mr. Hovey can answer this, is that 4-month time frame enough time for an RFP? Or should it be a 5-month time frame? You know, I would hate to try and rush someone through this and not have them give a very kick butt presentation. What happens a lot is people might find out about this site and its potential and what they might want to do in February, and then try and put something together real fast. We're going to be publicizing this. We'll be pushing it through the State of Alaska General Contractors Association, the Building Owner Management Association, National Association of Realtors, private developers in Anchorage and Fairbanks, and maybe even Seattle. So we'll make up a good list of people to get a package to on this. But you never know when they're going to really take a look at it and say, okay, let's put something together. And then we get the phone call, we need more time, we have a really kick butt, I thought. So anyway, that's to be answered at a later time. Evaluation committee scoring due on the 27th, so that gives a 2-week process. And again, this is a proposed schedule. These can change. On April 6th, City Council review the top scoring proposal in a special work session. Now, this says top scoring proposal in a special work session. Council, this is when you step in. You want to see all of them? And what I thought was you'd want to see all of them. Okay. So review of all proposals. Okay. And is that I guess my question is to the attorney. It says here special work session. Can that be an executive session? Because you're going to say some things that should be private as owners of this property. You know, in my business, when I'm presenting an offer to a client, it's only the client. The family isn't in the background listening. This is public property. But this, in the beginning, you should look at as an executive session.
So the exemption to the Open Meetings Act that comes to mind is the exception for information that is going to immediately imperil the financial interest of the city. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we use that a lot during contract negotiations, things like this. You don't want to play poker with all your cards showing.
And you also might say, well, why don't we counter this one at this? Because this might get a little bit fluid.
I think what I would see is an executive session with just the council. It wouldn't include, I don't think that it would include the bidders.
Yeah.
And once we get to that point, I think we could have some sessions in executive session.
So that's going to, you know, what I want you to fixate on is the schedule can change, and how you determine it can change also. Mr. Ringstead.
So we might want, I mean, I don't know about the exception for this, you can't put on the record something that might harm the bidders either financially. You know,
yeah.
They might have information. But I think there's a point at which we as the council may want to ask them questions about their proposal.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess then the question, would that be part of the executive session, depending on what it is, if we're going to get into saying, you know, if we want to question them and say, you got the financial backing to really do this, you know, well, that's a sensitive issue.
Well,
so I think we need to be prepared to have time in our schedule to do that.
I'm just going to ask Jerry. Jerry, did he do this on the hotel? Sorry, Jerry.
We had two proposals in. One of them was a bit sketchy on the financing. And if my memory is right, we talked about that in open session, actually. But there is, bidding can be litigious. If our staff says, well, Company X, you know, it's run by so-and-so who has a horrible track record, and we've looked at it in the past, and nothing ever seems to go right with any of the projects that they're involved in. I mean, that's not something you really want to say out loud, because you could be sued. You could be sued, but you can get it from staff, and then the council can make deliberation. Well, we think that that proposal should be nixed at this time, or no, we still want to go ahead and hear it. But that's the only thing I can think of in executive session that would be something you want to talk about, is where there's a potential for a very serious bid protest. You know about it in advance.
Okay. Mr. Ringstead.
Our schedule here, we do the scoring, we review the top proposals. In the way we're written this, we have 2 weeks, the time we review them till the time we approve them. We need, I mean, I think we need to come in and say, okay, here's, what do we give to the public, and how much time do we give the public to comment in that process? When we get down to the final decisions and say, okay, what is the public comment period, and where does that fit into this?
Ms. Sprinkle.
Is that when it becomes an ordinance and you have two public readings? Is that how you went with it, with your hotel?
No. What I see happening here, you have your evaluation, and you could have, if there is a problem, where they sense that there's a problem with the bidder, and they could call an executive session and take that issue up. If there is none, if they all seem responsible bidders, then I would say you go to the next step, which is presentation to council, and then after that, another meeting where the council deliberates on it.
So there's no ordinance involved?
In the end, you have to take a formal... You have to make a formal, I don't know if it's resolution or ordinance, that I forget.
There, to dispose of the land, you're going to have to eventually have an ordinance.
Yeah.
But also, that ordinance is subject to a 30-day referendum, voter referendum. I haven't seen that happen since I've been
That's
here,
true.
But
yeah.
That'll be part of it, of course.
Also, in the ordinance, you're outlining a contract that everyone will be signing to, approval of the contract. So the ordinance will be the approval of the contract in place that you will be approving.
So it's back to John's point about public input. Once an ordinance is being supplied, is that then the start of the public input? The two readings, is that the thing?
Yeah.
That's what's minimally required according to code. It's the council's prerogative, of course, to have as many discussions and opportunities for input as you want.
Yeah.
But I guess, does that make you feel good?
Well, yeah, I mean, I think realistically we could have more than 20 minutes worth of public comment on something like this. So we have a work session. People can be aware of that. But we only have one meeting at which we're going to have public comment and approve it at the same meeting.
Ms. Sprinkle, excuse me, Ms. Therian.
Yeah, I lost the video in the discussion, but what I was hoping is that the council reviews all the proposals in a special work session, and then if we need to go into executive session, that the attorney let us know at that time, or if we have to do it at another meeting. But I think that we want to have the work session, all the proposals in front of us, and that the public knows if they want to be able to listen in. And I'm sorry I lost you guys for a while.
I think that You don't do it that way. You have a work session, an executive session, because you might be raising the price of the land from the proposal coming in. And, you know, an executive session, like a CBA, you're giving direction to me. And you'll be giving direction to a proposed developer through me or whatever. So you want those discussions protected.
I understand that, but in a really important thing like this, I would like to be able to see the proposals, and then if we have to have an executive session, give us a little time to do that.
Yeah, we can do something. We can do something like that, Valerie. We'll figure that out.
Okay. Thank you.
The other thing just to keep in mind is another reason for an executive session is if the conversation would tend to impugn the character of the company or whoever they are talking about, that's also an opportunity. That one's a little tricky because you have to give the subject of the discussion the opportunity to make the discussion public. So there's some notice provisions involved there. We can tackle all of this when we get there, but just to keep in the back of your mind, there's a couple different options there for us.
Mr. Marney.
So I'm kind of lost. Are we going to have public input or not?
Yes, we will, but, how and when, you're always going to have public input. It's public property, but I want you to be able to have a private discussion amongst yourselves
prior,
as basically a portion of your negotiations with any RFP that comes in. I'll take a look at it. If you only have one proposal, then we have nothing to barter against. So, are they wanting it, for a lease fee for $100,000 value at or capitalization rate of 3%? Oh, heck no. And we have to be able to have that private discussion on financials on any RFP that comes in. Ms. Sprinkle.
That's a great point. Do we then have some sort of mechanism that says we've had a failed search? We don't have to take the bid or the proposal, do we?
No.
And I'd just like to have that safety factor.
You were rejecting the offer.
Okay.
And look at this as an offer, an offer, and you're the executive board. You have to make a determination of whether you accept it, how you counter, what portions you like, what portions you don't like, and you have to have the city council has to have a private conversation in regards to that. Okay. On April 20th, and again, this is a proposed schedule. This is probably going to be varied. Approval of proposal, and then 5-1, start of interim use of site. So that's a little bit hasty. My thought is you don't turn over the site until they have loan approval. By the time they get loan approval, they'll have their documentation of what their construction will be, when it will be, how it will be, and everything before they get loan approval. Yes, Sue.
For our alternative plan to start into action.
Okay.
That was not meant to be the owner or
okay.
the proposed.
Yeah. Start of interim use of site is interim use is Plan B.
We think. That's what we're thinking. Yeah.
I see. Okay. Any other discussion on this?
Ms. Tidwell.
Ms. Tidwell, then Ms. Therian. Go ahead, Ms. Tidwell.
Okay.
I just want to say I'm disappointed to hear that the presentation that we had talked about, to some of the stakeholders is canceled. And the open house, I did not realize that was to potentially promote somebody's business. I was under the impression that was going to be an opportunity for the public to, you know, the stakeholders in one meeting and then the public to have some input and start talking about ideas, which I think is a really important part of the process in the beginning. And there should be many of those types of opportunities, because if the entire community wants a mall, I think that's important for us to hear. I mean, I have no idea. I have no idea what people are going to want, because we haven't put that opportunity out there. So I'm excited or looking forward to hearing how we're going to hopefully reschedule that or do it another way, because I think that's really important. I'm sad to hear that that's not happening.
Mm-hmm. Ms. Therrien.
Yes. I, with regard to the presentations to the Downtown Association, FEDCO, and Chamber, I would like those to be publicly noticed. And I agree with Crystal that we need to try to do something with the open house.
Anything else? Mr. Clearworth and Mr. Ringstead.
Valerie, I guess I would say the footprint that we're talking about here is much smaller, actually, than what we had for the hotel. And parking is going to be a problem for anybody who gets in to a project here without somehow involving the Labor Transportation Center. But I think we're going to be really limited on who is going to respond to this. So if we go out to the public and they say, use your example, a mall or something like that, that probably isn't going to happen. And then you get the public disappointed because, yeah, you didn't listen to us. We wanted a mall, and you put up a condo. And the reality is we're only going to be looking at whoever has the bucks that are bringing to the game. And then, if, like you say, if we don't like anything that we see, then you go back to plan square one, I guess. But we're going to be limited on what we can or cannot do there. We can't just create what people envision. I want this or I want that. And then if you get their hopes up, or they say, well, you didn't hear us. You put up a apartment complex. So I don't know. I'm just a little leery of getting that, having the butcher paper on the wall with all the ideas that you want on this spot, and then the respondents to the bid don't cover any of that. That becomes a little tricky, I think.
Mr. Ringstead,
handle that.
One other thought here. You know, in the end, we're saying talk about interim use. I guess I would think that the discussion or the thought and the work on that is going parallel to this process. I mean, figure that out between now, so it's ready to have do something in May and June. But I mean, I'm assuming that is going to kind of follow all the way through the next several months.
Okay. Mr. Marnie.
The Hovey report. Maybe if we just kind of mention that or put publicity out towards that, is this is what we're thinking, or that's one of the inputs.
First of all, walk down Fred Meyer's and they're going to tell you what they want.
Well, I know, but at least it may diffuse some of the issues.
Can you make this a public document?
Well,
for anybody who wants,
I mean,
to
this
see
is
it.
What we're thinking, sure. But we're not sold on.
Well, this is just an assessment. This has no idea of what should go there.
And
yes,
again,
I like it.
You know, you're going to have a public discussion with Mr. Hovey, and you're going to be telling him what you don't want and what you do want, and that's going to be in the public. Okay.
Mayor?
Okay. Yes, Ms. Brinkley.
I'm sorry, I don't want to beat a horse, but I'm going to. I think that Lonnie's idea is very good. I think this should be something, if the public doesn't know we have it.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very, very good document for us to base a lot of our conversation on. So I don't know, is that something you could put on our website?
Which document?
The Polaris Site Redevelopment Market Assessment. I think, didn't you hand it out last 2 weeks ago?
Yeah.
I feel like I have. I'm not sure, though.
Anyway.
We'll take a look at it. We'll see what we can get on
it. I think it's smart, and it's public dollars. We paid for it. Let's do it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
One more thing. I'm sorry. In the RFP, are we going to tell these people that we've got this interim plan going on for the summer and winter of 2026, or is that not going to be part of the RFP?
Not part of the RFP.
So they're not going to have any idea that we're going to be spending money to work on this?
Well, my thought is if we get a proposal you're going to accept, there is no interim use. Why are you expending money on something that's going to be knocked out in the next summer? And we have another location for it anyway. Turner Street.
Mayor?
Yes.
I would say let's talk about it.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Thanks. Mr. Barney.
I would like to thank you for putting this together.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Okay. Anything else? We're adjourned. See you in about 24 minutes.